We're going to be reading a few verses from the book of Micah in the Old Testament. Marshal your troops now, city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labour bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. This is the word of the Lord. So now we're turning to the New Testament, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he'd called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then King Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently, carefully, in modern, for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they'd heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they'd seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, thank you, Marie, for bringing those readings to us. Welcome again and happy Christmas. The day is finally here. For some of you, perhaps those of you particularly who have younger children or grandchildren in the family, and it's lovely to see some kids with us today. And I know how much kids can really be looking forward to Christmas, and that means perhaps today is a day that, well, it's finally here, that the day of excitement has finally come. For others of us, perhaps it just feels like a bit of a relief that Christmas is finally here. You're looking forward to a break from work, or perhaps even a holiday. The need to go out and battle with other people at the shops will soon pass, and you can put your feet up and enjoy some rest and some time with family. If that's you, well done. You've made it. Or perhaps you anticipate that time with family may be a little stressful, and you won't really be able to relax until all the gatherings are done and finally you're going to get some time on your own. If that's you, hang in there. Or perhaps Christmas means too much time on your own, as other people in your life have their own commitments and their own families, whilst your calendar looks rather bare. Whatever your situation and feeling might be today, we are really thrilled that you've joined with us and chosen to spend this hour with us here this morning, and we again pray you'll be richly blessed by it. Perhaps contributing to the heaviness that some of us may be feeling this Christmas is still the tragic events that took place at Bondi just a week and a half ago. Many of us, I think, are still in shock, and many people will be feeling acutely the pain this Christmas of absent ones, of those who have departed. This world in which we live is full of suffering and pain, and we feel that acutely. There is simply no hiding that. But what we can do is to turn to God and look to the hope and the relief he offers. And Christmas invites us, encourages us to do that. And when we do it today, by taking some time to look at particularly the second passage that Marie read for us from Matthew chapter 2, what is it we see? Well, sadly, before we get to the real hope and joy that Jesus brings, and we will get to that, we see a reminder, first of all, that this world isn't right. For the events following Jesus' birth that we've read about this morning are marred by the actions of an evil ruler, a ruler named Herod. Herod ruled over Judea at the time under the larger authority of the emperor in Rome. And sadly, what we see in Herod are actions which appall, for we see a leader who is duplicitous, a leader who is dishonest, a leader who is very much ruling for his own gain. He wants to shore up his own future by eliminating any possible threat that exists that might be posed against him. A leader that is self-centred, self-absorbed, self-obsessed. Herod's character is revealed when he's visited by people known as magi from the East. Wise men is what we often call them, or sometimes in our songs, as we've just sung this morning, they're portrayed to us as kings on account, I think, of the rich gifts that they bring to Jesus. But more accurately, they were probably astrologers who followed the stars, like the star which had appeared to them in the sky back then and which brought them to Jerusalem. And Herod tries to use these magi as pawns in his own game. He tries to exploit them, to use them for information, to advance his own selfish purposes, to shore up his own position. And he does so by attempting to maintain an appearance of respectability and trust in the process. He likes to portray his motives as honourable. He says he's just as keen as the Magi are to worship this new King Jesus who has been born, but Herod's motives are anything but honourable. They are dark and very devious. For Herod wants to eliminate the child who has been born, so his own power will be protected and his honour will not be forsaken. When we look at this part of the Christmas story, the first thing we see, sadly, is all too familiar for our weary souls. We see political selfish bargaining, a jockeying for position, an evil scheming for power. We see lies, deceit, and even murderous intent. Hardly things which are uplifting. But what it shows is this. Jesus, who came into this world, and Matthew's been very keen to point out just in the chapter before the one we read this morning that Jesus is God himself come into the world, encounters human sin and evil head on. Jesus isn't born in some kind of vacuum where he's protected from the harsh, evil realities of this world. Rather, Jesus is very much born, and indeed he's thrown into the very midst of them. Even as a child, he is battle-laden and weary. He experiences real threats, real danger, real difficulty. You could never say Jesus was a prince who never had any experience of this harsh and evil world. No, he lived and breathed the difficulties in this world even as a child. And that would not change as Jesus grew older. Ultimately, Jesus would experience the most sinister of betrayals and rejection. He would have wicked things done to him. He would experience an evil and not just read about them in a book. He would feel the impact of evil right up close and personal, just as his own family will soon be doing, when ultimately Jesus will be crucified and killed. Jesus does offer hope, but he does so not by avoiding the harsh realities of this world, not by dodging them and ignoring them, but by experiencing them, indeed tackling them head on. Herod's attempts to have Jesus killed, which the rest of Matthew 2 unpacks for us, will indeed on this occasion fail. But the murderous attempts made on his life 30 years later, resulting in his crucifixion, will succeed. You feel the weary impact of evil in this world. You feel tired of the suffering you experience and see, so much so that you've just stopped watching the news. Well, Jesus became weary and tired of it too. He wasn't a king removed from us and detached from reality. He was born into the very midst of it. He was born into that reality. From the moment he first breathed to the last breath he took, Jesus felt the full force of human evil. Where then is the hope? I mean, it's nice Jesus at least knows how we feel. That counts for something. God is not removed. He knows us. But is that all Jesus brings? Sympathy, understanding. They are something. But are they enough? Well, Jesus brings more. For in entering into our human experience fully, in suffering and later dying, Jesus claimed that the Bible claimed Jesus was defeating evil. He was releasing people from the hold that wickedness has on each of our lives. Jesus' own death was more than just the consequence of a wicked series of events. It was more than just an act of kindness on his part to show us he understands. It was part of a deliberate rescue plan, instigated and delivered by God himself in human history. For in dying as he did, in allowing evil to conquer him as he did, Jesus was actually defeating evil's power. He was removing its sting. Just like a bee dies after it's released its sting, the Bible says evil loses its power when its sting is unleashed fully upon Jesus. For Jesus absorbs sin's penalty. He removes its power. He protects people from evil, ultimately ruling over them. Instead, he becomes their ruler. He becomes their reason for living. He becomes their power. And what will be the outcome of all this? Well, for the individual who is saved, they will no longer be condemned. They will now be free and experience God's forgiveness. They will no longer have any reason to keep living selfishly for themselves. They will now live for Jesus. Being given his power through the Holy Spirit, they will reveal God's character upon the earth. They will treat people differently. They'll regard themselves differently. Instead of being proud and self-righteous, they'll be humble and gracious. Instead of being vindictive and mean-spirited toward others, they will be loving. Instead of holding grudges and nurturing violence, they'll be kind and forgiving on account of the extraordinary forgiveness God has shown to them. Individual lives will be changed as people encounter God himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. They'll no longer have a death sentence hanging over them. They'll no longer be guilty and condemned. They'll be restored and forgiven. Instead of thinking resentfully, God owes them something, or God's holding something back from them, they will be grateful and astounded that God in Jesus has given them everything. Everything they do not deserve. That's what will happen in the lives of individuals. But it won't end there. For a community of believers will be formed. A community that spans the races, that removes divides, that overcomes deep-seated human hostilities toward one another. It's striking here, the ones who bring gifts to Jesus, the Jewish king, are people from the nations around them. The Magi from the east most likely came from Persia or perhaps the neighbouring state which was previously known as Babylonia. In other words, the Magi came from either modern-day Iran or Iraq, and they came to give gifts to the Jewish king. Racial divides no longer mattered. The unthinkable happened. People from different nations would soon become one. And that's exactly what we see as the New Testament unfolds. In the book of Acts and in the later letters of the New Testament, including those written by the Apostle Paul, again and again we're told of how Jew and Gentile become one in Christ Jesus. Racial differences are set aside. Divisions are ignored. Peace does not just come between man and God. Peace comes between men as well, both men and women. As evil is defeated, humanity is restored in perfect harmony. One simply cannot ignore the peril our world is in. One cannot say there is no hatred or division. One cannot say evil does not touch and spoil each of our lives. But one can say Jesus has the power to address all of that in eternity, to heal the divisions, to bring about forgiveness to human lives, to rebuild trust, generate love, and create a real and lasting hope for us all. And that's why we come this morning to worship Jesus. That's why it's right, like the Magi, we come to bring him gifts. And the most important gift we can give to Jesus is our faith, our devotion, our thanks, and our love. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that whatever our circumstances may be this morning, whatever our state of mind, our experience, or the condition of our hearts, we can come and worship you. Help us to do that today and every day, realizing what it is Jesus can bring. He has done what it takes in the end to defeat evil, to overcome sin in our own life, to bring forgiveness and grace, to shower us with mercy. May we relinquish our own pride and self-centeredness and instead entrust our lives and our futures to him, the glorious King. For his glory we pray. Amen.